Welcome, affiliated listeners. Today, we have a very special episode. In fact, I want all the Shopify shop owners to pay attention because this is an episode for you. If you've been finding yourself in your acquisition, it's humming along, but it's just hit a wall and you're thinking, what do I do next? Today, we have the answer for you. Exactly, a method of acquisition that you probably didn't know existed. You definitely don't know a lot about it, and it could be huge to your business. And we have a special guest that's going to explore that with us, talk about it, and this might be the thing that turns your 2024 to something that's pulling out your hair to a pathway to a whole new avenue of revenue acquisition you're going to be very excited about. So with that, let's jump into it. So today, Thomas, how are you doing first? Because we're going to wait till we introduce our special guest.
Yeah, you always today. Do this, and I'm not the special guest.
I know, you're not the special guest. Here's our not special guest.
So I'm like, hey, you're
but
disappointed.
But a special person nonetheless.
Oh,
so
thanks.
I know you guys might be disappointed because Thomas isn't in a funny hat yet, but we have not got enough responses that we feel we're ready to don you in a
I don't
hat.
Know what this is referenced to.
Oh, yeah, so. You were gone. I'll talk to you about it later. Okay. But let's make it awkward for the rest of the podcast. With that, as Thomas is doing well and slightly uncomfortable, which is just where we want him to be, we do have a guest today, and that is a guest that's actually with ClickBank. And what she does is she specializes in bringing on a brand of client that we haven't worked with a ton in the past, but we're working with a lot more now and into the future, which is branded e-com. So, Lauren, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you're doing at ClickBank now and into the future?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for bearing with me as I'm getting used to this podcasting with you two. Like I said earlier, when we were not recording, I felt like I'm entering into your world. So thank you for the warm welcome.
Well, I'll tell you, we're not any good at it.
So no, you guys are amazing.
you've entered a world of just madness. There's really
just amateur training. Yeah.
The one time I did that recording with you where you came out with like the smoke and like you had the wig, this is your arena. Like this is...
Smack my lips in a very amateurish way. Well, they appreciate that. Yes, yeah. I'm very good at wearing costumes.
And you too, of course.
I try to keep up with Kyle.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, yeah. So my
background... So you don't wear costumes at work, except for occasionally, but...
Right, yeah. No costumes, but... So I've been with ClickBank almost 2 years now, which seems crazy to me that time is flying that fast. But my background is in affiliate marketing and in e-commerce. I started my career at Groupon. Groupon is like, and it's still around, which I feel like not everybody is using Groupon like they were way back when I was there. But they started a product division called Groupon Goods. And I was part of that team that would like bring on merchants and build out bigger categories of business. So jewelry, watches, and electronics, and really you name it. They became their own marketplace. And then that's where I really learned about affiliate marketing was at Groupon. And then I went on the publisher side. So for the last 8 years, I worked at a publisher, a deal publisher, and got to work with all the networks and lots of different brands and with Amazon and Walmart and those names that we all know and maybe love or hate. I don't know.
We have opinions on. Yes. That's what we like to say here. Neutral here at ClickBank. We just support opinions.
Love that. And then I joined here. I joined ClickBank to help bring on more branded and e-commerce like sellers, we call them, right? Advertisers onto our platform.
Yes, there's so much lingo. It's always hard to figure out which one you're talking about.
I have a gripe with the way people use advertiser and affiliate in the space. It's like, it doesn't make sense to me.
The advertiser side? The word?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because people use it as like, I'm like, they're not the advertiser. The affiliate's the one running the ad usually and things like that. Or the
but
publisher.
But see, in publisher side, or even like a content creator, like the business is the advertiser.
Yes.
Like you're bringing on these advertisers. Yeah. So when I'm talking, and we'll probably dive into this stuff, but when I'm talking to like the Shopify owners, I'm like, you're the advertiser. But when you come into ClickBank, you're the seller.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
Wait, what? What's happening?
The sellers come to us for affiliates to run the ads or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like it's just like.
Yeah, it's a minor deviation, which we will all break down instead of you guys going, well, this is words with Thomas, Lauren, and Kyle.
Jargon talk.
Yeah. Well, so first, I'll save later for what was the craziest Groupon thing you saw and then why
that's such a good question.
I stopped using Groupon, but we'll save that for a little bit later because that'll be fun. But so one of the things, Lauren, I think was super curious because we've seen, obviously, I think we're used to a certain type of seller, advertiser, offer owner, vendor. That way we got all the jargon out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For that people, things that own people that own stuff. So what have you really seen from that world in terms of what ClickBank has to offer? Like what are we kind of seeing from these sellers over here that are selling your, you know, whether it's Onnit or some of the brands we've brought on recently?
Yeah, I think that they are super excited and interested and intrigued when they learn about ClickBank. because it's a way for them to start to diversify their acquisition funnels and strategies and tactics. And also it allows them to leverage affiliate marketing in a way that they've never been able to do before. So all of this is like a new world. It's, you know, it's a way to have a new sales channel and new acquisition coming into them. So I think all of that is very exciting to them.
When you're chatting with a lot of these brands in the space that are probably selling on Shopify and whatnot, are they usually familiar with affiliate marketing? Have they done it before? Like, what's like kind of their comfort level or knowledge level when it comes to quote unquote affiliate marketing?
Yeah. So, and I think you guys probably know this too, but it's like, they are definitely aware of affiliate marketing. Like that's like, I'm an e-commerce brand, I'm selling on Shopify, and I also know about affiliate marketing. Like it's like a word, you know, but do they know the levels and like the options of strategies available to them? Probably not. They're probably using publishers, right? So they're working with deal sites, coupon sites. They might be using Forbes or, you know, other publishers, bloggers, lifestyles, publications. Maybe they have creators that fall under their affiliate program. Maybe they're working with ambassadors, right? They have like an ambassador program. That's kind of affiliate marketing for a brand, for an e-com person. Then they come into ClickBank and they learn about media buying affiliates and email marketers.
The performance affiliate umbrella kind of like world
and,
a bit. Yeah.
And that's brand new.
Yeah.
For most, I would assume.
Okay.
So you expand a little, so let's expand a little bit more in terms of, I think the general, the thoughts of these affiliate programs, it's like what I like to call a lot of closing affiliates. I think coupon affiliate sounds bad. So my marketer brain says it's a closing affiliate, right? But through kind of like, what is, so if I'm building an affiliate program for a standard Shopify seller, like what do I think about it and what am I expecting from it?
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of talk about how maybe things shift once you get in the ClickBank world.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would love to hear like your opinions too. So I would love to hear you guys weigh in on that. But I think when you're starting out on Shopify, you've got your store up, people are coming, they're purchasing the product, maybe you have a social media following. Shopify actually has Shopify Collab, which is their influencer program. So that's an immediate, like, join that. You should be doing that. And then I think there's also the option of knowing where do you want to diversify your affiliate strategies. So do you want to play with publishers, influencers, creators, ambassadors, media buyers, or email marketers? Like, where do you want to put your time and resources? I think, Thomas, you have a really good way of qualifying and giving guidance. So I would love for you to, like, weigh in on this of, like, here's where you are in your business and here's where media buying would make sense for you or leveraging performance affiliates. I think out the gate, you should definitely be working with publishers. And you should definitely be working with influencers if you have your Shopify store stood up. And that's pretty easy. You can do that with like joining something like GoAffPro, which is something that will allow you to just quickly stand up an affiliate program. That means if you wanted to be on a blog or a publisher's site, you could easily just track that yourself and set that up. Or you can join a network, right? So like the networks that we are familiar with are like Commission Junction and Rakuten and Impact. And then whenever I talk about ClickBank, I talk about ClickBank as a peer to those networks. So it's in combination with whatever you have already set up in your affiliate program. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. I try to, like, looking at any brand, quote unquote, regardless of their strategy, it's like what I try to go boil down to, like, the owner, like, what do you want your affiliate program to be? Like, how do you want to grow it? Like, is it something that, I think I see a lot of affiliate programs where someone's like, oh yeah, we do affiliate marketing, and they have a very passive affiliate program and it's kind of just there to check a box. They don't really put resources behind it. They don't hardly have staffing around it. Maybe they have an affiliate manager, but you probably find their program in like their footer, and they might be using something like a GoAffPro or a WordPress plugin or something that just tracks over their existing infrastructure. And it's almost set up more as like a thank you commission. Like, it might be like 5-15% commission or something like that. And it's really like, oftentimes those, in my opinion, are set up like a bad referral program where it's like, you could probably use something better, like a Refersion or something like that to get your customers to send more customers to you and go down that route versus like, oh yeah, we have an affiliate program and it's kind of there, but not doing much. And then it's like, okay, what is that next level? And I think that's almost what you're talking about a lot, where it's like you're working with the publishers, you're doing more involved things with like the content creators, influencers. You're working with those people with warm audiences that are in that more branded category. and you can start to get warm traffic from them, referral traffic from the Momos. You're probably a lot more established. You have some staffing behind it. You've got budget behind it, and you're pushing that out. You're on some maybe the different kind of e-com networks. And then the more oftentimes direct ROI scalable can be that kind of performance marketing affiliate. And that's where it can run in conjunction with those that other program too. But that's where you're going, okay, there's media buyers out there. There's email marketers out there. There's marketers with traffic that want to monetize their traffic. And they want a dollar for dollar return on that spend or that investment there. Does my product, offer, whatever you want to call it, have a good enough performance to get in front of those people who can send one affiliate, right, sending hundreds of customers a day, thousands of customers a day, and be able to scale up to that campaign? And that's where it's like, oh, sorry, I was going to say, that's where I usually look at that and go, like, how much revenue or customer acquisition is that affiliate program driving for your business? And then if it's like less than like 30 to 40%, I'm like, okay, there's probably meat on the bone there to chew with performance campaigns if you have some cold traffic running already.
I feel like this is often what happens. People like hear all this information and they get totally paralyzed. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, what? Like you initially asked me, like, if you have a Shopify store stood up, what do I do for affiliate marketing, right? And yeah. then we like, we're like, do all these things.
It's like, there's a ton you can do, right? Yeah,
there's a lot.
Yeah.
So there are, I think, some systematic approaches where it's like, you're getting clear on mm-hmm. like, how is affiliate marketing going to be part of my business? And then what strategy do I want to build around that? Because I don't think people come in thinking, oh, I'm going to build an affiliate strategy around a product that is scalable for media buying affiliates mm-hmm. or, you know, email marketers. That's not a normal train of thought.
Yeah. Well, and let me expand it because I agree. I think lots of time talking to people, the way I describe their affiliate program and kind of Tom's thing before, it's like, it's almost like the field of dreams. They built it so the affiliates that are there will come. And I've kind of stopped thinking about it after that. In fact, most of the sellers I talk to, when I say affiliates, I oftentimes get this reaction. And then I ask why, and we go back to my marketing term, closing affiliates. Like, oh, well, I just have a bunch of couponers, and they bring me low-value clients. And if anything, they're pilfering my media spend. So already there's this level of frustration with affiliates. And one thing I put out there and kind of said, well, you know, I get that. That's frustrating. But what's the commission you're offering on Rakuten or ShareSale or Commission Junction? Like, oh, like 10%, 15%. Yeah. Like, so you're just a little bit better than what they're getting out of the Amazon program. Mm-hmm. So at that point, let's think, just for all the people out there that might be experiencing your acquisition, I am putting a very, very low commission out, meaning that only people with low effort in terms of what they're doing from a publishing standpoint are going to want to promote that. As a coupon affiliate, that is absolutely the lowest effort I could think of. I'm obviously going to do a lot of SEO and optimization, but ultimately I want to just be close to somebody that's going to Google it when they're making a buying decision, right? I could accept a lower commission. If I want more successful promotions, I want better affiliate performance, I just start looking at it a little bit differently and not give so little and expect so little in return. So as we kind of talk about performance affiliates, and I would say any affiliate, right? Whether it's performance, whether it's content creator, publishers, it doesn't matter. I think the biggest shift I really want people to think about today is it's all about shifting the mindset from, oh, here's the thing, I set up an affiliate program, to you could optimize your affiliate program with a company like ClickBank or other networks as long as you have that strategy and the motivation to know how it works for your business. Because you could do it with creators. You could do it with performance affiliates. The biggest thing is it's just a massive opportunity in your business that you're probably not doing anything with. And then we could talk about a lot of those different strategies. So I tell people, it's okay to be confused when you first hear all this stuff. Mm-hmm. The best thing to do is take a deep breath and just say, here's an opportunity. Now let's see how it makes it work. So we could probably do it with the rest of our time and start seeing some of the different ways you could start making it work.
Yeah, let's if it's okay with you guys, let's talk about your client.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Popsmith.
Yes. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you guys about it. So first, super awesome product. Everyone out there, super awesome product. But it was a Kickstarter product. It's a unique category. It's a high-end popcorn maker that you could use from home. Looks great. Functions really great. But this is a product where they kind of ran into a situation, went through their Kickstarter. They started trying to do some performance campaigns, but they kind of...
So for them, sorry to interrupt you, but for performance campaigns, is that... I'm buying traffic on media, on Facebook.
Facebook, yes. Okay. They start buying some traffic on Facebook. And
they
then,
set up like a video or an ad, and it's like the product.
Yep. They have a whole, they have an advertorial that goes in kind of a blog style, the five things at Popcorn. They go to that page. Then that drives the selling.
Is the page built for that traffic, or it's like product listing page that they created?
They have a product listing page, but primarily it was, and that's the thing. So I'll tell you this. They were trying some things and they saw some success, but they just couldn't quite figure out. They were product creators.
Yeah.
They knew how to create products. They'd done well in retail, but now they're going into this whole D2C game, and they are finding that some of their acquisition strategies felt like it was costing them a lot of money and not getting them the ROAS that they wanted, and definitely not the scale of acquisition
right.
that they really get just on a Kickstarter campaign.
Right.
So we started talking about affiliates, and that's where things really shifted. And one of the big things were, listen, at the end of the day, you have a great product and other people have a great message. We're just going to help connect those two together. So if we do this on a performance basis, because they had done some things on Commission Junction and Rakuten, they just weren't getting traction. Because
So when they went, because I think this is very familiar for a lot of brands, this whole story. When they went to Commission Junction and they're on Rakuten, which maybe they still are, right? They're giving out 10% to any publisher. And when they're not getting traction, what does that mean to them? Does that mean like people aren't reaching out to them? They're not able to get people to promote them?
Yeah, I'd say the promotions they're getting are primarily passive. It's built off the traffic they're already creating. So if they aren't, they would see if their spend goes up, their affiliate traffic goes up. Mm-hmm. Their spend goes down, so does their affiliate traffic. So they weren't getting real dynamic pushes.
Okay.
They were getting, again, more like your coupon affiliates or low volume bloggers, and it just wasn't really moving it for them.
Okay.
And I have another example of an e-com provider that was doing something with affiliates and they ran into a different problem. But so for them, a lot of this is they were so new. They knew their product was broadly appealing, but they didn't have the specific message for a lot of different niches to get the conversions where they wanted to. Mm-hmm. In comes affiliates. Hey, on a performance basis, if you could pay a CPA, that's a lot easier for you. You have a lot of new costs. You're trying to recover some of that because you're probably a little bit of a debt situation normally early on. So it's very, very appealing. And then knowing, too, on a performance basis that when something hits, I'm not shelling out CPMs and trying to check my ROAS. They're going to perform, continue to push it for as long as they like the product and they see results. Very, very appealing to them. So because it's on a performance basis and it frees them up to focus on the things that they want to do with growing their business and really leveraging us to help them go make some connections that could be very, very valuable mm-hmm. and then have the reporting, have the payouts, and not have to worry about all the back end stuff, it was incredibly appealing, especially for somebody that's in the stages of mass growth. They just want to grow their business and they need an easy kind of extension way to plug in, especially when I'm still crafting my marketing message. Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting. It's been really exciting too, because it's created, as you've seen, it's great to go talk to affiliates about. You put it out there, the payouts are something they're really excited and the product's great. And so we're seeing some traction with it. Yeah.
Yeah. You touched on some things there. It's like, I find a lot of times people that are new to affiliate marketing, like the brands, like they come into a, it's almost like a scarcity mindset that they're worried about overpaying to an affiliate. And it's almost just like, how much do I need to pay, right, to get an affiliate interested?
Yeah.
And I almost really like when people flip it, how much can I pay them to get the customer? Because it's with any traffic source, it's almost proven out, right? Where it's like the more you can pay to acquire a customer, you win against other brands who can't pay that. And so it's almost that flipping that, thinking of less of affiliates as a low cost mechanism and more of another customer acquisition strategy where, yeah, it might cost you X on Facebook. It might cost you the same for an affiliate, but you've just widened your pool to attract customers in that way. And then I think where people get hung up sometimes is they are the product creator. They get really excited and passionate about their product. And they go and try to talk to affiliates like that affiliate's gonna be as excited about that product as they are. And while there's a lot of affiliates out there that are what I call a kind of heart-centric, they want to put good products out there, they want to really help their audience, they might be willing to take a lower commission than, say, a pure performance marketer, but they still need to cover their bases in a lot of cases. So maybe I kind of look at the three buckets. It's like wallet, heart, brain. And you kind of have to be able to fill the right buckets for the right affiliates. Some affiliates are going to be pure wallet. And a lot of brands don't want to work with those people because those might be more aggressive, might be deemed more scammy, more pushy, things like that. But even the more heart-centric people are going to be wallet motivated at the end of the day. If there's two very similar products and one pays them more, pays them faster, pays them better, has stronger metrics. And the brain one is there. It has to kind of make sense for that affiliate. It can't be something totally off the wall that I've never tried before. And it's like, that doesn't look like something I've had success with in the past. Mm-hmm. And that has to, you have to overcome that initial barrier. Then those other two kind of things have to make sense.
And one thing I'd say is like, you can move water into different buckets with that equation. Mm-hmm. So if, say, you don't meet in one area, maybe it's not the heart. You could adjust sometimes with the money. Yeah. Not always. I know that made me sound like you could buy anyone for a certain price.
We're salespeople, right? Yeah.
but in reality, like sometimes it's like, I think a bigger one is if the brain, right? Well, this doesn't look like anything I promoted before. Mm-hmm. Offer a little bit more. Hey, that's cool. I'm willing to give you a trial incentive. But I like what you're saying. Yeah, like the biggest thing should be, I even say not what you could pay the affiliate. The first question is, what am I willing to pay to get a customer?
Yeah.
Start from there. Yeah.
Not for
in general. Yeah. Like, how much can I, at max? I always like to tell people you should have three layers with an affiliate program, but first start off with, what is the max I am comfortable paying for a customer? Awesome.
Well, that's why I think we both ask clients or leads, essentially, like, what is your customer acquisition cost?
Because
it's A, to figure out, is it good or bad, but also, do they even know it?
Yeah.
And if you don't know it, it's usually a sign to me that I don't know if you're really ready to play in this space in a serious way, but let me help you get there with figuring out where those knowledge gaps are. And
Yeah. But if you have that, like, that should be the thing, is like, what am I willing to pay to acquire a customer? Mm-hmm. That's one of the big shifts I would tell everyone here, and you probably experience it. An affiliate program is something that I kind of block on versus shifting it to a true acquisition channel is a different mentality. And when you do that, I think that commission question or just what you need to pay starts shifting, because you're like, well, I would be willing to pay this. And then I always like to tell clients to create a three-tier structure. What your max willing, comfortable pay and willing to pay, save that for the people that can truly drive the performance. You create another tier, which I like to call your feels good tier, right? This means if we know that they're a very good affiliate, you just want to kind of create a goodwill experience. That should be the bump from everybody else. And then I like to have just the entry level tier. This is your poster board, billboard, whatever you're offering to people. That's what everyone could get. And that should be, have some margin in there. You should feel good about that amount. It's lucrative enough to get people to pay attention, but you should be able to get margin on every single transaction. So building out that way is super, super smart and a really good way. If you want to start getting performance out of your affiliate program, the first thing you should do is come up with that mentality. Like, okay, what's the max I'm willing to pay? Let's build some tiers. And now you can start kind of getting a program in place.
I had like six thoughts at the same time.
That's the third one.
I'm wondering if you guys, okay, so I'm the Shopify seller, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I've got this brand. I like this product. I know my customer acquisition cost. What's next? Like, what do you feel like I must know? Like, can I then participate in performance marketing if I have my tiers? I know my customer acquisition cost. But like, what about, like, am I just putting like my product listing on ClickBank? Like, do I put my product in? How does that?
I mean, I guess you go first, Thomas.
I take ClickBank off the table on these conversations. Honestly, it's like, let's just look at the metrics of your business. Like, what's your customer acquisition cost? You know what? Great. Is it good or bad? From a perspective of, are there going to be affiliates that are interested in your profit margin off of that, right? The customer acquisition cost is one thing. Is your margin actually pay the affiliate healthy on that? We've run into a lot of brands where it's like, oh, our customer acquisition cost is X. Let's say it's $60 or something. That's probably low in this world. But then our margin on that is only 30%. And so that's what we can pay to acquire the customer. It's like, okay. So you can pay up to, gosh, I'm putting myself in mental math.
$20.
So $20, right? Yeah. So I can pay $20 to acquire affiliate. So now we start asking, I just asked the business owner, would you be excited to promote an offer where you're going to get paid $20 per sale? And like, what kind of person is that? You almost start thinking, like, who would that be motivating for? And there probably are people out there who could do that. But in reality, you're probably going to have to you're going to have to convert at a very high level for that to back out for most performance affiliates. And even not performance affiliates, if you're a content creator who has to choose between a product that could pay you double that, say $40 per sale, they can convert half as well as you and still outcompete you potentially. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, so now we start looking, go, why is your margin so low? And or is there things you could do in the offer to increase that average order value and get you more margin per sale? Mm-hmm. Are you doing the right bundling options? Do you have one-click upsells? Do you have order bumps? And that's where I see a lot of meat on the bone sometimes with different sellers. It's like there's probably some quick levers to pull to add some things in like that that could, in some cases, double their average order value and just get them more margin to be paying affiliates for that.
And like, what is like an expectation? So like, okay, fine. I'll bundle things together. Mm-hmm. I'll get the right AOV so that I have a healthier margin. I'll pay out a competitive rate that I think, right? And that my business can handle. But like, what are my expectations? Because you said like the idea of affiliate marketing for most people, most brands, most e-com is like set it and forget it, mm-hmm. or it's very passive. So like, what would be a normal or like a healthy expectation coming into performance marketing or maybe even affiliate at large?
Oh, I'd love to. I'm actually going to dial back and go back one thing, and then we'll answer that question. I think the expectation could change quite a bit based on what you have before. But with what you were saying too, with the margins, I think a good way to think about that is if you have very slim margins on your flagship product, you're always going to struggle to acquire new audiences.
Unless you're willing to go negative, right?
Yeah, unless mm-hmm. you have deep pockets and you could lose money on the front end, which if you can, that's a great way to go. I know it sounds bad. I love when companies could lose money right on the front end. But no, it's a very powerful tool. And that's normally how you get rapid expansion. If you were in a situation, if you're a Shopify listener right now and you're like, crap, I have a small margin, I have a very low margin product, I don't know how I'm going to do this, that is okay. It's not to say that that's not the lead. It just changes some of your strategies. And I would say a good way to think about it is lower margin probably means your velocity is going to be a lot slower because you're going to have to find strategic partners. They're going to have to accept it. You have to get it to convert the right way. It's just you have a lot of challenges that could restrict the velocity of how fast you could go. So I would just tell people, if you could find some, whatever your highest margin product is, that just makes it the easiest to acquire with, but don't think that limits for you. Now, going on to what you said with expectations, I think the expectations of affiliates, one, there's a lot of other questions you have to ask. It always depends on what and how far, I would say this, like how willing and how aggressive are you willing to be? That changes a lot of the
aggressive in what?
In your marketing. In your marketing, okay. Yeah. So there's some people that are willing to be more aggressive in terms of what they say and the states.
But do you think aggressive marketing is the reason for scalability and growth?
No, I'll say this. I think these are all questions that just change what you could expect in terms of the interactions you'll have and the affiliates you'll go after. It does not mean that you could change your volume. We have stuff that is not aggressive that does very, very well. We have stuff that is aggressive that does very, very well. It just changes the routes that you end up going.
It's a little, I think most brands
will be like no to aggression. Yes. Right? Like it's like that's not on the table.
Aggressive because I think it sets the wrong tone.
That's fair. Yeah. That's a non-marketing thing.
Well, to me it's more speed to sale. Right? Yeah,
there you go.
So like that's brand great. Like typically, you know, what's the verb? The people say it takes 14 touch points with a brand before they make their first purchase and things like that. Like that stack gets thrown around by different speakers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like the onus on say about performance marketing is speeding up the 14 touch point to as few touch points as possible. Mm-hmm. In our world with performance affiliates, we're talking about one touch point.
Yeah,
or
one to two
right?
most, yeah.
And so the affiliate, so someone sees an ad or a blog or an email, they click on that, they see the sales copy and they buy, mm-hmm. right? Versus getting retargeted and seeing branding on a bus and then seeing, right? And then buying
consuming
eventually.
Pieces of content, stuff like that. So I guess, I shouldn't use the term aggressive, but the idea of just, again, consolidating that sale, right? Into one touch point. I think when you have that, it just changes velocity. It doesn't necessarily change scale.
Which can happen with warmer traffic. That's why influencers can be great, right? Mm-hmm. You run with an influencer as a trusted audience. They, hey, I really like this brand for X reason. They send very targeted traffic to the brand. That can convert day zero. Mm-hmm. Works better with, Athletic Greens that does a little ton of podcasting and people know about it. But go ahead. Yeah.
This is kind of maybe like general. Obviously, it wasn't something we talked about before. So hopefully that's okay.
Off script. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This is scripted. I didn't get it.
But I'm wondering if like brands like a Shopify brand or an e-commerce brand is like more likely to just build this robust strategy and team or even just a point person around paid media strategy and paid acquisition strategies because of like the ease of use. Like I'm going to set up an ad and I'm going to buy it and then traffic comes, right? Versus what we're talking about is quite complex. Like there's a lot of information that you have to know. There's a lot of like testing. Yeah. There's a lot of onus on you as the brand or whoever you put in this position. Do you think that there's a way that we can shrink some of that knowledge gap? Mm-hmm. Obviously, this podcast is one of those ways, but like, what, how can we easily like boil it down to like a very concise way to say, like, this is the easiest way we can make this make sense for you, why this should be a strategy? Yeah. And maybe we don't have to answer it on the spot, sorry, but I was just thinking, this is so complicated. Like, how do we make this easier for people?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, for me, it's conversion rate times commission rate, or you could call that average order value, equals earning per visitor, or to an affiliate's world, earning per click. And different.
We need to like spell that out.
Yeah. Right.
And but so, Dylan, where's our images?
Yeah. And so if you have, you know, if you have your commission rate times your conversion rate, that's essentially the affiliate's earning per click or EPC, mm-hmm. right? Any affiliate might look at that in different ways, but any affiliate or influencer or publisher, right, is ultimately looking at some metric like that. Like, mm-hmm. how much did I make for the traffic I sent to this offer? Mm-hmm. And regardless of platform you're on, regardless of tracking system you use, if you can build a more robust system to maximize that commission rate, pay affiliates faster, work with affiliates better, go after recruit affiliates, and manage those affiliates, that just bolsters your strong affiliate program. And so when people ask about expectations and things like that, mm-hmm. I start showing examples of what good brands do at a bigger scale, right? Here's what an 8-figure brand is doing. Here's what a 7-figure brand is doing. 7-figure meaning that much revenue coming in from affiliates, mm-hmm. not their total mm-hmm. comp, right? But mm-hmm. and then it's going, okay, what are the pieces in place to make that happen? And it doesn't mean you have to have a scaled performance campaign that converts day zero. It could be an influencer or content creator campaign that you're using with it. But what are they actually doing in-house in the operational side of things to support that?
Do you have any insights on?
Sure. Yeah.
Real fast, before we get into that, I think one thing, just because you said, how do you make it very simple to have people say, this is what it is, and here's how you could do mm-hmm. it? I think a good way to think about it is actually to not talk about the technical terms, because the hard part is we could get very technical.
Yeah,
and the problem is, like, the challenge even to point the technical sides of this is it shifts based on your business, based on your product, yeah. based on your marketing message, based on your funnel structure. Well, we
the
start getting really nuanced.
Yeah, right, but the strategy is pretty
core. Yeah, but
core.
The core way to think about this is oftentimes people look at this as your friends should tell your friends kind of an affiliate program is what we're talking about. I want people to shift this and think about a sales force, a contract sales force that you're building, right? So you mentioned that, hey, you have to do these strategies and things like this. Think of it more like you have a liaison between your contract sales force that needs things to succeed mm-hmm. and somebody at your company. That's kind of the way you start looking and thinking about an affiliate program. I am hiring and keep and maintaining my contract sales force. Mm-hmm. And that contract sales force is going to look different based on your company, but you would love to have a contract sales force, especially you mentioned before, hey, why not just do paid media? That'd be great. Not everyone could do paid media. It's freaking hard. Talk to somebody buying ads on Facebook right now and see them 5 years ago when they had hair in their color in their hair, still had hair, probably 20 pounds lighter. Like, it's tough. Like, Mark is not making it easy. And then you put in the fact that there's lots of different traffic sources to go on and lots of ways to lose a lot of money. That could be scary for a lot of businesses out there. Or it could be something that they're just, they've hit that threshold.
Exactly.
Unlock a commission sales force and just find out the right commission sales force for you.
I like that. Yeah. I really like that. You know what would be kind of a cool concept? If like people are listening, they could write in or, you know, message us.
Yeah.
We could like literally talk, you know, either they could join us or we could talk about their business live. Like,
Gosh, let's do something that somebody else is going to have to follow up with. Listeners.
I'll follow up with it.
No, okay, good. Yes, we'll make.
No, if you email affiliated at clickbank.com, I monitor that inbox. Irregularly, somewhat regularly.
Irregularly. Like my bowel movements.
Yeah, and I've hopped on calls with people before. I can't promise we're going to do this at an incredibly speedy rate, but
I can help you.
Yeah, we've done audits for people. We've done, right, things like
I'm
that.
I like doing big, bold things that other people to follow up with. So if you're a Shopify seller, if we get a good enough amount, what we'll do, and you really would like to be a part of this, if you want to come in because you're excited about your affiliate program, submit. We would gladly select a winner. And we probably want to do it live because I don't know what's going to happen live, but we'll record literally reviewing your affiliate program and what we recommend and then share that. So you get exposure to affiliates. You guys get exposure to your business. You get high value consultation and we get a really fun episode. So win, win, win.
Yeah. I'd say this. Send in your actual affiliate program. right?
Like an affiliate link, like a link to
link to your affiliate program. Where it's,
sorry, friends who don't have an affiliate program already.
Well, it's kind of the
we can't review much if you don't have anything. So yes, that is a requirement. Sorry,
but what if they're you'll get great zero? Content. What if,
well, then they could watch the episode. Okay. Yeah. We will give them some really valuable information.
Yeah, no. So we have done it like funnel audits before and stuff like that. If you submit like your product and things like that. Hard part, it can be a bit. We can get choosy with what we actually review because some are just so far away from something that's going to work that it's hard to really say like do X. Mm-hmm. It's like.
But I think on the branded side, they are already so far away from our world.
Yeah. I would say this, if you go through the affiliated content episodes, just sort by old, and kind of pick and choose episodes that resonate with you. We've done a lot of episodes into just like strong affiliate programs before and kind of the terminology about it, like things like that. So if you're just like, I just want to learn more. We have a ton of content in this podcast and past episodes that can really level up your knowledge. And yeah, I've heard from friends and new friends and I've come to the industry, you listen to our podcast and go, thank you. Right. That was awesome. Got me up to speed faster. If you do an affiliate program, send it to affiliated.com, send the link to your affiliate program and any details that might help. Like, where is it listed? What's your current affiliate acquisition strategy? Mm-hmm. Are you actually finding affiliates recruit? If you don't know, that's fine. We just have it in your footer, but give us that context.
Yeah. Even if it's just your normal acquisition strategy. Like if you're in Lauren's boat and you don't have an affiliate program, but you have an acquisition strategy. Yeah. And what you think an affiliate program you'd like it to look like, great. Send it in. We might not select you. Don't have your feelings hurt. But we could. I think the
honestly,
big thing is
I'd
love
to
be able to.
As many as I can when I see those things. Like if people give me the stuff, I'll try to do it.
Of course, yes, please write it and please do all those things. But I will just say that from my experience working here for the last 2 years and bringing on brands, not all of them have an established affiliate program. Mm-hmm. And they still want to participate.
Yeah.
Right. So of course you can go through the content, but there's also the opportunity of creating your program with us.
Yes.
Right.
This is a plug for networks in general, but really a plug for ClickBank. But, because that's a big question. It's like, I want to build an affiliate program. Should it be self-hosted? I want to build something myself. I hear I want to build my own custom code and make it all work and stuff like that. Here's why I think networks have a big advantage. And why you should consider them is that there's a lot of things that go into managing an affiliate program on the back end, especially at scale. So that's why I started asking people, what do you want to do with this? Do you want to get it to a 7-figure run rate, right, or bigger? That's likely going to mean hundreds to thousands of affiliates promoting you. Now, core of those will be majority of traffic, but still, you're going to have to do 1099 contracts with all these people. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get them paid on time every time. What's your payment speed? Usually an in-house program is paying like a net 30 or worse, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So affiliate drives a sale on Monday of April 1st, and they're going to get paid out probably May, right? Sometime in May for it. That might be fine for more passive affiliates, but for more serious affiliate, they need to get paid much faster. And then all the other, how does the tracking work? How does all these things work? These are all questions affiliates have. And that's why I see a big mistake on affiliate programs in general. It's like, hey, we have an affiliate program, sign up here. Mm-hmm. But you're not answering any of those questions an affiliate might have of how do you track? How do you pay? How can I trust you, right? Are you going to screw me over like a bunch of other programs have where they close it down and they don't pay me commission? Mm-hmm. You can go through all these Reddit forums and see some horror stories like that. An affiliate network that's actually handling the transaction, like ClickBank does the 1099s, does the tax remittance on the local sales level, pays the affiliate way faster than you're going to, and pays you faster. So you're going to get paid on a net 7 weekly basis. Affiliates get paid that fast too. Bigger affiliates get paid even faster. And we're going to make sure that all those things work at scale. So when you do grow, you're not trying to plug in something else where it's breaking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And we didn't talk about the fraud mitigation in there, that you might have a affiliate program that, listen, we like to think that all affiliates are awesome, just like all people are just good. But just like pets in life, there are cats that exist and they suck. So we just have to realize that sometimes affiliates suck. And we spend a lot of time finding the bad ones and keeping them out, and also the bad customers, because you get fraudulent customers. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of risks that go along with that, and having that mitigated.
Because there's so many business in a box tools out there now, and then they have affiliate tracking, and it technically works. In my experience with clients, it doesn't work at scale. And that's why you see clients coming to us going, okay, I've got these affiliates that have signed up to my affiliate program on, I don't want to say this is brand names, right? But imagine LMS platforms that are big or different kind of networks that are big, right? And it was fine when I had 10 affiliates, but now I'm scaling past that. And now I'm having to handle all these payments and figure this out, and the things are breaking. And now they're having to migrate affiliates to a new platform, which is really painful. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like. Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier, a lot of people, man, this seems more complex than what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. It is. And networks make it a lot less complex. Because the biggest part is a lot of the management in the back end side, that is not what a growing business is
wanting
to hear.
And what have we not talked about with it? The number of affiliates on the platform.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's why I was qualified to make sure that the business gets a lot of value from the network or ClickBank's kind of value stack mm-hmm. and feature stack and benefit stack, where it's like, hey, we do all these things. Does that check the boxes for you as a business operation mm-hmm. standpoint? Oh, and you get access to hundreds of thousands of affiliates as your program grows.
Oh, but it's a huge, massive opportunity.
Yeah.
Cool. That's nice.
In that case, it's almost like the affiliates on the network are the cherry on top. But mm-hmm. ultimately, on any network, you're going to have to do your own affiliate recruitment to get to the scale you want to get to. So does the network support that effort? Right? If you're going to a network to go, get me a bunch of affiliates, and then you cross your arms and sit there and wait, you're going to be waiting a while, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of whatever network you're trying to get on. So it's mm-hmm. more, does that solve your business needs? How do you actually build a good affiliate program? Build it on a network that will get you more visibility as you grow it, mm-hmm. so that when you acquire an affiliate, it's like acquiring 1.5 affiliates mm-hmm. every time versus having to recreate the wheel every single time.
Yep.
And being on a network makes it that much more easy to, like you said, to have mm-hmm. access to affiliates. But like when I was working at the publisher side, if you didn't have a network account or if you weren't on that, like we couldn't work with you. It was just like not even an option.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have affiliates in our network, and you experienced that where it's like, why risk ever so much to have to work with somebody off of a network? And so you're really losing a lot of very high quality affiliates by not having that trust and assurance.
Yeah.
As well as going back to, again, like there's a lot to learn and adjust and to specialize for your program to make this a great opportunity. And I'm going to share some other thoughts of why I think right now it's a really big one, especially for a lot of creators out there. But you know, because don't make it harder by giving yourself a bunch of back end stuff that most entrepreneurs don't want to do, mm-hmm. right? Their accountant probably told them to, and I'm like, oh, I hate that accountant. You know, you're just glad he keeps you out of jail, right? But knowing that that's that a network could just alleviate so many headaches, so you could just focus on the very hard enough task of building and growing this channel out is a huge benefit. And so I just want to also switch too. I think one of the things why this is so important now, and I'm seeing from a lot of people, we know that ad prices are going up, competition is going up, cost of actual products are going up, mm-hmm. and consumers seem to be spending less, especially depending on certain demographics. We're seeing spending constrict, right? Mm-hmm. So all that spells itself to companies starting to struggle. You're going to see acquisition, already have seen acquisition slowing down. And when traffic slows, efficiency should be increased. I'm telling you guys right now, affiliates are one of the most efficient forms when you have a good program to acquire a customer, because you don't have to do it at a loss. You know that you're going to get access to this commissioned sales force to have conversations in places you can't, you aren't able to, or you didn't even know you could. That is hugely beneficial to be efficient as you go out into what could be a tough time over the next couple of years economically. Affiliates will become a highly efficient source if you know how to use it. And if you're pairing with a network that isn't going to charge you a bunch of monthly fees, it's not an agency that's promising you something to, like, wow, you guys are sure invoice me a lot, but I have not seen the results, right? That's probably what you're struggling against right now. Mm-hmm. That isn't here. Well, you will not pay on a network unless you are getting performance. So at the end of the day, if you have time, you have hope, and you have a product that makes a ton of sense, a network is a fantastic solution to at least start expanding. The expectations might start with just 10 more sales a month that you didn't have and wouldn't have had, but it might end up into a full program that's 7-8 figures of margin or break-even acquisition that you didn't have or didn't know about. And right now, that would seem pretty sweet to most companies. So I definitely encourage you to at least get an account, poke around, start setting up and listen to some episodes, maybe even submit your channel and get on here to get a really live setup and start growing.
I was going to say, I think NPR needs some pledge drive people. I think it'd be a great
today. That's good stuff. But yes, we should. I've always wanted to be on a pledge drive. I think it'd be great. Yeah. I make so many weird faces in the background if I could, though. Great. Anyway, so, well, with that, guys, I know we're getting close on time. Lauren, do you have anything else you want to add in or be that voice of the seller? I know we covered a lot of things.
I was just going to say, I know we only have a short, few minutes, but it's also, there's Shopify digital products, right? So, and you can use affiliate mm-hmm. programs for digital in addition to the actual physical product. And I think sometimes that gets overlooked on the Shopify side, right? Mm-hmm. The brand that has a digital product. Do you have any, like, quick advice for anybody who has a digital product?
So, I mean, everything we've said applies to you here as far as strategy goes, because with, you know, creating more of a performance type model or thinking about how much you can pay affiliates and acquire a customer, I'd say especially with digital offers that I see outside of our core environment is they often don't have clear upsell paths, right? So it's like, they might have a course, they might have an ebook, they might have something like that, and digital or some sort of digital asset. Mm-hmm. And they're like, cool, I made this cool thing that teaches how to raise chickens and make your own eggs and stuff like that. But you don't have a clear upsell path to maximize that. And that's where if you've got like, say, $50 to $200 front end kind of thing, that might be enough. It might be really good.
So sorry to stop you, but you are talking about language that maybe people aren't even familiar with, right? So like, what is an upsell?
I can actually dial it back a little, because we have two examples that I think would be really good. Recently, we actually had an info, kind of more of like an e-com style creator with digital products, move over to our platform and saw some success. So he was doing very content strategies and things like that, hadn't spent a dime on paid media, and had some small TikTok affiliates that he was kind of partially managing, but he was finding kind of a cap. Because if he wasn't doing creating content, if he wasn't on a podcast or a YouTube channel, he wasn't getting any more acquisition. It was good. He's like, yeah, you know, what can we really do? So pairing him up with taking some of his offers and putting them into a full affiliate strategy and funnel and opening up, almost at this point, we also added some supplements that he didn't have in his business to pair with his digital programs. At this point, so far this year, we've increased his top line revenue 50% 3 months into the year from what he made prior.
So
right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so bringing those digital programs, had to do some tweaking and some learning, but going to affiliates, it exploded and we have more opportunities still building.
So for people who are listening who are like, I don't understand even what an offer is or an upsell, or, you know, I do have that ebook you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I do have a course that I've created. I think just kind of pulling things together a little bit. So it's like, for an affiliate, you would need to take that ebook, that e-course, and create something outside of your existing e-commerce site. It's a funnel. It's a landing page.
It could just be a different landing page. It could be on your same site. Mm-hmm. Although I would say if you're going to be scaled with affiliates, I usually suggest a new URL just for some. We can go into different episodes.
We actually go into some other episodes to go into that. Can I be a brand and still use affiliate marketing? We go into a lot of the details of things you want to go. Yeah. But yeah, essentially the way you think about it, however you're selling right now, you'd have to do some tweaks, but you could get that even in digital and potentially double your business, right?
Depending on where you're at.
Misnomer would be, oh, I've got this page with the buy button on it. Affiliates are going to love to promote this because it's a cool product. That's the mistake, right? Mm-hmm. You'd need to make some sort of sales page, landing page that is actually going to sell to a pain point that your product solves for and converts at a decent clip. It's all relative based on traffic and audience and all that.
There's a lot of details that go into that equation. And again, it's going to vary from affiliate to affiliate. But at the end of the day, like that potential, whether it's digital and it's digital pairing, there's a lot. And one thing I was going to put on digital that should excite a lot of people, especially right now, literally one of our top offers in the top 10 range is a digital offer.
Yeah.
And it's got a lower price point than all the other offers around it. But it's doing very well. And we're seeing, especially from media buyers, because it takes away a lot of the pain points of some of these other offers they're promoting against, which very easy for them to get approved ads. It's very easy to change things up and mix it. And the other thing too is the copy on it, it's very, very broad and converts well to those broad audiences because it's a lower price point as well. It's not asking as much.
Well, cool,
so
part
I get
of
a lot
digital
of sales
too is your margins are very big.
Very big, right?
But so the mistake would be, I want to pay 25% to an affiliate. And it's like, no, pay 75 to 100% of the affiliate, assuming your price point's like in the sub $100 range, right? And then try to attract as many customers as you can. And you're going to have additional upsells that you give them in the autoresponder series or email series.
I know that was a big question.
Sorry. No worries. And I just want to say there's lots of opportunity in the digital space now. So don't think you just have that physical product.
Exactly. My point.
So with that, guys, I know we covered a lot, and I know you might be saying, man, my mind is spinning with all the different options that I could do for acquisition. Good. I know it sounds crazy. I love the confusion. That's important because every single new step of change and a dynamic opportunity starts with a little bit of confusion. As that settles, please email us with that opportunity. We're going to do an evaluation. listen to some old episodes. We'll actually put them in the show notes as well, so we could link that and say, here's the things that you should listen to if you have some questions. But keep listening. The big thing is the opportunity is there. Take advantage and take advantage with the right partner for your business, which is probably us. But definitely it might be somebody else we don't really know. The last thing I'd say is keep in touch and make sure to rate, review, and importantly, subscribe to the podcast, because we're going to have some other episodes that are going to go more in depth in these subjects and cover some different things. Even if maybe you're not an owner, but you might be on the creator side, there's going to be some great content for you. So until next time, what do we tell the people?
Happy scaling, people.
Happy scaling, people. Lauren, you want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye. There you go. Until next time, everyone.